I am Plant on the Line. This is thecommentary.ca. Mark Edge joins me now. He is an international journalism educator and media critic. He's here to talk about his recent book, Asper Nation, Canada's Most Dangerous Media Company. It is a lively and brisk read on the Asper Media Empire, its history, and how Izzy Asper's Canwest Global has become one of the world's largest conglomerates. Mark Edge is currently an associate professor in the Department of Mass Communication at Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas, where he joins me from this morning. His previous books include the indispensable Pacific Press, The Unauthorized Story of Vancouver's Newspaper Monopoly, and Red Line, Blue Line. MarkEdge.com is his website. Asper Nation is published by New Star Books and retails for $21. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Mark Edge. Good morning, Professor Edge.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You worked at The Province, did you?
I did, for about 20 years.
And you left in the early 90s. Why?
Well, even back then, I could see that it was time to get out. This was when Conrad Black was first starting to get his hooks into Southam Newspapers, which was the parent company of The Province and many of the major daily newspapers across Canada. It was subsequently taken over by Black in the mid-1990s and sold to Canwest in the year 2000. But from what I knew about Black and the way he managed newspapers, I could tell that it was going to be a good time to get out if he was going to be in charge.
We used to hear a lot about Conrad Black and how he used to, affect the press that was published in his papers and so on, the coverage that they did and so on and so forth. But he doesn't compare at all to what the Aspers are doing. Is that correct?
Well, that's correct. Conrad Black at least had a background in newspapers and understood a little bit about journalism ethics and knew better than to directly dictate to his journalists. The Aspers are from television, which is an entertainment medium, and they don't have a lot of ethical problems, I guess, in television entertainment. Conrad Black knew how to influence the content of newspapers, which was not directly through giving orders, but indirectly through the selection and the promotion of key editors. And so he didn't attract the same sort of protests from his journalists that the Aspers did in 2001, 2002.
Sort of paint us the picture of the Canwest Empire. Just how large is it?
Well, it's an international multimedia conglomerate. They have holdings in mostly television, but also in newspapers in Canada, radio in places like the UK and Turkey, believe it or not. And of course, they're also very big on the Internet. Leonard Asper, who's succeeded his father as CEO, believes very much in the future of the Internet as a medium. So he's very big on this convergence theory, which sees basically all media converging online on the Internet. And so eventually everything will be delivered, newspapers, magazines, radio, television, all online. Canwest has recently divested some of its international holdings. They sold one of their television networks in New Zealand, TV3. They also sold their Irish television network, which was also called TV3. They sort of specialized in third networks, which is what they built with Global Television, a third national network in competition with the CBC and CTV networks. They've been retrenching a bit somewhat because of their heavy debt load in taking over the Southam dailies from Conrad Black in the year 2000. They took on almost $4 billion in debt, which has been an albatross around their necks ever since, especially since shortly after they bought the Southam newspapers, the dot-com bubble burst, and they recently, like I say, sold a couple of their networks, but they did not, to the surprise of many, sell their holdings in Australia, which they own most of Network 10 there, which is said to be an asset that almost balances off their debt in Canada now, but they see that as a growth area, so they decided to hold on to that.
You mentioned that Izzy Asper was a television. He owned television stations in Winnipeg and so on. This move to newspapers, was this? I guess why would they do that?
Well, believe it or not, Izzy Asper actually started in newspapers. He was a tax lawyer of all things, and he decided to go into politics. But even while he was a liberal MLA in Manitoba, he was also tax columnist for FP Publications, which for a brief time in the 1960s was the largest newspaper chain in Canada, larger even than Southam. It had such newspapers as the Vancouver Sun, the Toronto Globe and Mail, the Montreal Star, the Winnipeg Free Press. So Izzy Asper was syndicated in about a dozen daily newspapers across the country for more than a decade, and so from his writings on the subject of taxation, we get a very good idea of his economic theories, which are very much libertarian, and he's had some interesting ideas about taxation. He believed in such things as the flat tax and things like this, and especially in enriching the rich through tax cuts, things like this, and these are theories that he's passed on to his children, who very much believe them and use their media empire, just like Izzy did, to promote their economic theories.
But I guess, as a media critic, you find that the newspapers are still influential.
I believe they are. Television might be the most powerful medium and the most pervasive medium, but it also has its limitations, you know. It's been said that everything that's contained in the half-hour television evening news could be printed on one page of the daily newspaper. Newspapers have an ability to go in depth and do an analysis that television doesn't have. So as a result, newspapers tend to be much more influential politically, and so as much as power and reach, I think people like Conrad Black and Izzy Asper were as much interested in political influence.
And this idea of convergence, this does not work?
Well, it's proven to be a bit of a disaster in the short term. Like I say, shortly after Canwest Global decided to become a major player in the convergence game, as did CTV and the Globe and Mail with what's now called CTV Globe Media, the dot-com bubble burst. The late 1990s saw this great bubble of stock market enthusiasm for new technology, and it was exemplified by the AOL Time Warner merger, January of 2000, perhaps fittingly, almost as the new millennium dawned. Here you had a merger between an old media company, Time Warner, a publishing company, and the movie production company, with AOL, which was an internet pioneer, and this sort of galvanized enthusiasm for convergence. But like I say, within a year or two, the bubble had burst, and so the stock market value of these converged multimedia companies became a fraction of their peak worth, which sort of took a lot of the enthusiasm out of convergence as a concept. Whether or not it'll still prove valid in the long term is another question. There's been some signs lately that Canwest is moving away from the convergence model. A lot of people feel that there are some fundamental incompatibilities between the work done for, say, television reporting and newspaper reporting, and that it might be best for specialists to report for each medium.
Yeah, back to this idea of newspapers having some influence or carrying some influence. You write in the book that the Asper family had acquired the National Post and other Southern papers from Black in 2000, and this had something to do with TV licenses. What was the connection there?
At first, Conrad Black could only bring himself to part with half of the National Post, you know, which he had founded in 1998, and he founded it for a very particular purpose, which was to changed the national conversation. In fact, it changed the whole face of journalism in Canada, especially across the southern chain, where instead of being more objective and neutral reporting, they became advocates for particular political theories, tax cuts, and things like this. But once the Aspers and Can West acquired the National Post, along with the rest of the southern newspapers, they've been used ever since very much to promote not only their own products, but also to call for the abolition of the CBC, which Can West and the Aspers claim is unfair government-subsidized competition for their own private television network.
But in terms of approving TV licenses that the Aspers had, is there a connection there?
Well, it certainly doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to have a chain of influential daily newspapers when you're coming before the CRTC for increasingly more audacious consolidations. For example, the Alliance Atlantis purchase, which was done in partnership with a U.S. investment bank, Goldman Sachs, because CanWest itself was so heavily in debt, they couldn't make a bid on their own for the, I think it's 13 specialty television networks owned by Alliance Atlantis, such as the Showcase and the History Channel. They brought Goldman Sachs on board to actually finance most of the deal. So I think Goldman Sachs came in for about 64%, which in Canada there are supposed to be limits on foreign ownership of media, something like 30 or 40%. Well, 64% was way in excess, of course, of the limits on foreign ownership. So a lot of people were calling for the CRTC to strike down the purchase of the Alliance Atlantis channels, which CanWest for many years had been lacking in specialty cable channels. But for one reason or another, the CRTC approved the deal, gave its final approval, I believe, last week.
Well, what's the deal? The acquisition of Alliance Atlantis. You write in the book that 2011. That seems to be the date. And then what happens after 2011 in terms of the ownership of Can West?
Well, it's a very complicated deal. The deal is that there's a new company formed to hold these 13 specialty cable television channels, and Can West owns 36% of it, and Goldman Sachs owns 64% of it. The deal is that in the year 2011, that company will merge with Can West Global, and depending on what the revenues are of each of the two respective companies, that will determine how much Can West Global will own of the merged company. So if their revenues go down, they could end up being in a minority ownership. So they really are more dependent than ever on the, you know, their regulatory largesse, as you were, of the CRTC in order to keep Can West Canadian.
Now, just to back up here for just a sec, Can West is owned, is that a public company, or they're owned by the Asper family?
Well, it's a public company, but it's owned mostly by the Aspers. They have a majority of the shareholdings.
Now, just after they took over, there was a big kerfuffle across this country about national editorials coming from Winnipeg. Can West, is based in Winnipeg, correct?
Yes.
And they mandated that these national editorials will run in all of their papers, including The Sun, and I guess not The Province, because they also own The Province here in Vancouver.
Right.
Vancouver. There was such an uproar over this, and you go into great detail about it. Was this a one-off? Was this something that you'd never seen before in Canadian media?
Well, that's exactly correct. You see, this was the problem with the Aspers' lack of experience in the newspaper business. They thought they could just order their journalists to print whatever they wanted publishers of each newspaper had been given the freedom to reflect the local values of their own community, and a lot of the journalists didn't feel like that they should be carrying, the company line, the propaganda from Winnipeg, put it that way.
Was Russell Mills' firing from the Ottawa Citizen, because I remember that when that happened, was that part of this, or what was the situation there?
It was sort of the other half of that, of what I call the Asper disaster. The Asper disaster began with the National Editorials, which was late 2001, and journalists at the Montreal Gazette protested by going on byline strike. They withdrew their bylines from atop the stories they wrote, and the Aspers came down very hard on them. The journalists in Montreal argued that, you know, their community most of all required a local perspective because of, you know, they were basically the newspaper of Anglophones living in Quebec. A series of other protests broke out across the country. Columnists quit at various different newspapers across Canada. But the controversy took on new life in the summer of 2002 when Russell Mills, the publisher of the Ottawa Citizen, was fired by David Asper, Izzy's eldest son, who was running the newspaper chain at the time. David Asper had written a column in March of 2001, shortly after the Aspers bought the Southern newspapers, criticizing the press coverage of the Shawinigate scandal, in which Prime Minister Chrétien, there were many questions about his ownership of a golf course in his riding, and Asper in this column basically told the media to put up or shut up, that they were unfairly persecuting the Prime Minister, etc., etc. Well, the Ottawa Citizen did a wide-ranging investigation, published four full pages of evidence showing that Chrétien had been lying through his teeth the whole time, and ran an editorial the same day calling on him to resign. Well, they ran all this without running it past the company headquarters in Winnipeg, and I'm sure that when the Aspers saw it, they were furious, and David Asper flew up to Ottawa and fired Mills, which caused a huge controversy in the community because he was very, you know, well-connected to the community and had been at the Ottawa Citizen for decades. And so, like I say, this is what I call the other half of what I'm calling the Asper disaster.
You know, at the time, I guess, who was that, Leonard or David, that had fired him?
David was the one who was running CanWest Publications, as they renamed the Southern newspapers. Leonard was CEO of CanWest Global, looking after both the television and newspaper arms, but David was sort of in charge of the former Southern newspapers, put it that way.
The after that, there were mass cancellations of subscriptions of the Citizen. I know in Vancouver here, our friend Rafe Mayer, he resigned and urged the same. At the time, I believe it was Leonard who said that, you know, eventually these subscribers will come back. Have you seen that in the wake since?
The circulation of the Vancouver Sun and Province went down about 15% over a period of about 3 years following that. It's since stabilized. The public, they tend to have a fairly short memory, and so I wouldn't be surprised to see some gains. They claim that the new political perspective that they're covering the news from will actually see them add subscribers to replace the ones that they've lost, but newspapers as a medium are declining in circulation worldwide, so I would be very surprised to see that happen.
And the National Post, we've been hearing, you know, the death of the Post is imminent. Where do you see that in the near future?
Well, we've been hearing that the death of the Post is imminent for about 7 or 8 years now.
Right.
The Aspers have been heavily subsidizing it, using the profits from their television companies and also the other Southern newspapers, which are very profitable, The problem with the National Post is that it's a startup newspaper, and it takes a long time for any new newspaper to build up an advertising base, and especially for a national newspaper, which has to rely exclusively on national advertising and not on local retail and classified advertising, which is usually the largest part of most local newspapers' advertising base. The USA Today, for example, took 15 years to reach profitability after it started up in the early 1980s. Despite a circulation of a couple of million, it lost money for 15 years before it finally got enough advertising to break even.
Are the Aspers in it, though, for the long haul, do you think?
Well, that's what they claim. They claim that they're going to keep the National Post alive, and I believe they will, because I think that they're in this more for ideological reasons than for financial ones. And like I say, the other components of their business are highly profitable. Izzy Asper was a very shrewd tax lawyer. He knew very well the benefit of having a money-losing operation from which you could write off the losses against the earnings of your other divisions.
You write in the book that the government needs to do more in terms of looking at ownership, foreign ownership, especially in the wake of the Alliance Atlantis deal. But just the concentration of media in this country, as you know, and here in Vancouver, we have the Sun and the Province. They're the two major newspapers. They're owned by CanWest. They also own Global BC, which is the number one television station in this town. What can be done about the concentration of ownership, do you think?
Well, there was some talk of perhaps reinstituting a prohibition on cross-ownership of media between a newspaper and a television stations, for example, which had been in place in the 1980s, had been removed by Brian Mulroney when he was a Conservative Prime Minister. The CRTC held hearings last fall into what they called media diversity, but just last week they came down with some new regulations that didn't go nearly as far as prohibiting cross-ownership of newspapers and television, merely decreed that any one company could not own outlets in all three media in any one market. So that basically preserves CanWest's monopoly holdings in Vancouver, where, as you said, they own most of the newspapers, both daily and non-daily, as well as the dominant television station.
Do you find, though, that even though the media is concentrated, that perhaps stories aren't being reported as they should be?
Well, that's the problem. The whole idea with convergence, cross-media ownership, is that you can cover the news with fewer reporters. And especially at the Vancouver Sun now, the Aspers have been cutting staff relentlessly. There's hardly anybody left. It's amazing they can cover the news at all.
So I mean, I'm still wondering what if the CRTC seems unwilling to do anything. What can be done then, do you think?
Well, the CRTC is the only regulatory body, you know, in Canada capable of doing anything. The problem is that we have a deregulationist government in power, the Harper Conservatives. They're not about to pass regulations restricting the growth of big business. Besides which, the Harper government, they're very close with the Aspers, just as close as Izzy Asper was to the Liberals. John Chrétien was a family friend, etc. Since he died in 2003, the Asper heirs have moved just as close to the Harper Conservatives. In fact, David Asper endorsed Harper personally as a candidate for Prime Minister, which was unheard of among media owners in Canada. I don't think that's ever happened before.
What's the reaction been to the book?
The reaction has been fairly muted. It's not, of course, going to get much publicity in the mainstream media in Canada, not when it's being dominated by CanWest. There was a review in the Winnipeg Free Press, which basically trashed it. I thought it was rather harsh until I got to the end of the review and saw that it had been written by the publisher of the Free Press, so he obviously takes an ownership perspective. We are hoping that it will get reviewed in one of the Toronto newspapers, however, that isn't owned by the Aspers, either the Globe and Mail or the Toronto Star. It was excerpted in on the Taii online, so I'm told that that attracted quite a large readership, so we're hoping that that might translate into some sales as well. I'm told that they're shipping quite a number of copies. It just is a matter of how many get returned, I guess.
Now, it took you, but I read somewhere, 5 years to write this book?
Well, I wouldn't say working on it for 5 years. I'd been doing various pieces of research over the past 5 years, writing journal articles, conference papers, book reviews, things like this that I've been able to incorporate in the book. I worked on writing the book for about a solid year, but like I say, I had already done a lot of the research, so that's why I say I sort of worked on it for about 5 years.
And what are you working on now, Mark?
Well, I'm now working on a couple of conference papers for international conferences, one in New Zealand next summer, although it'll be their winter. Actually, the Canadian Communication Association is having its annual conference in Vancouver this year in June, so I've submitted a paper proposal for them. And this is what we do as scholars. We write papers that hopefully turn into journal articles, which hopefully turn into books. So I'm starting the cycle all over again, starting from scratch. So maybe in 3 or 4 or 5 years I'll have another book to write.
This has been an interesting book, and despite one's personal thoughts on the matter, it's lively, as I said, and brisk and quite informative. And congratulations on writing it, Mark, and we'll await the next book, and we'll visit your site in the meantime.
Well, thank you very much.
The book is called Aspernation, Canada's Most Dangerous Media Company, $21 from New Star Books. MarkEdge.com is his website for the commentary. I'm Joseph Ponta.